With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The dawn of a new season of Futurama is coming to Hulu July 29th.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
July 29th, streaming only on Hulu.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit dicks.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
Welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday, what means the On Texas Football Tuesday Night live stream brought to you by Texas Electricity Ratings, of course, our partner tonight. Also, the Allstate folks will tell you about them coming up, but it's going to be a fun conversation. We had a lot to do. Talking media days, got the Big 12 happening right now. We'll keep an eye on that, but obviously more importantly, the SEC media days, the Longhorns' first trip there will be next Monday through Thursday. So we'll start to preview what's to come in those conversations. We have news on the Longhorns starting quarterback and backup quarterback this evening as we get this thing rolling, and we've got some general college football conversation as usual here on the On Texas Football channel. And he is CJ Vogel, he is Rod Babers. Guys, how are you?
Doing great.
Ready to roll?
We're hanging in there. It's the dog days of summer, so what does that mean? Right, you know, it's Wimbledon in the morning, it's the Euros around lunch, and now Copa America for dinner. So ready for football, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's always football season for me. So I've been doing SEC research, and I'm ready for SEC media days coming up next week. So I'm already looking at Texas opponents. I've been doing my own research. So it's football season for me. I'm deep in the weeds.
Can't wait to dig into that, Rod. Yeah, the struggle's real. Struggle is real. I was watching a couple episodes of with the wife last night, the Battle on the Beach home improvement show. That's fun, you know. What are you going to do?
That's how you do. Yeah, see? This is when you catch up on good shows, though. You get House of the Dragon, it's pretty good.
That's good.
What's the other one? The Bear is pretty good. I've been watching The Bear.
It won't be too long until that Monday night's full of Monday Night Football. So get your shows in while you can.
Get the shows in.
It's the binge season. The first four episodes of the new season of House of Dragon, pretty strong. Pretty strong this year so far. So good. I would recommend that, but I need to get into The Bear for sure. But speaking of watching and TV, I wanted to start with this conversation. This is fun and easy. Good way to launch into our Tuesday night. Found this on the Twitter machine. Here we go, Matt. Throw this up. This is according to the ratings here. This is the K-Ford ratings. Highest watchability games of 2024 in college football. Nice little graphic here. Highest watchability game based on competitiveness and projected quality of opponents. So there you go. That's pretty good. And look at that right there at the top, Texas, Georgia, the highest watchable game of 2024, week 8, followed by Georgia and Alabama 3 weeks previous, followed by Ohio State, Oregon. That's not a big surprise. Those, you're talking about the top four teams in the country, pretty much consensus by everybody, and throw Alabama in there for good measure, and Tuscaloosa, pretty good. But what you also notice, guys, is the Longhorns are featured in 4 of the top 9 games as far as watchability. Georgia, Oklahoma, week 7, Michigan, week 2, and A&M, week 14. So, you know, I know when, you know, the powers that be said, let's jump to the SEC, let's make that move. I think this is part of exactly what they were talking about. What you will also notice is on the top 40 games, there are no Big 12 games. Not a single Big 12 game is in the top 40 of these ratings, which, you know, obviously, when the Longhorns and Oklahoma were in the SEC, in the Big 12, that was always the biggest game for whoever the best teams were. That no longer happens now, so they don't crack the top 40. But just your general thoughts as you glance at that for the first time, guys.
I guess I might be in the minority there. I would have expected the Big 12 to have had at least a couple, right? You know, there's still some really talented teams in that conference, right? Utah, Arizona joining. You can always expect Oklahoma State to put together a good program as well. I actually look at Kansas, Kansas State as two programs that could really, really put together a strong game at some point, you know, in the near future, right? You know, Kansas, of course, Jalen Daniels coming back. Kansas State, they've been a contender for the conference title the last, you know, handful of years or so. Now they have a dynamic quarterback, you know, Avery Johnson. We've talked about him. He's a National Gatorade Player of the Year his senior year in Kansas. Picks the Wildcats, pushes Will Howard out of town, essentially. That's a pretty good team to me. I see a lot of folks clamoring for Colorado right now. Well, the conversation here is good teams. You know, it's going to be a high watchability rate, meaning it's going to be two teams that are probably ranked pretty high and two teams that have a lot of talent on the field. Colorado won't be either, right? They have a good quarterback. They got a nice player, Travis Hunter. Aside from that, that team's not very talented, and we can all kind of cut the charade with what Colorado is hoping to be because they just aren't. So that's my thought on the Big 12 at least.
Well, I would agree with you too, and I'm keeping an eye on what's happening out in Vegas with the Big 12 media days, just knowing all the folks and those teams and schools, and they just for – knowledge of the view. The highest rated Big 12 game is number 43, Oklahoma State hosting Utah, week four. A couple of the preseason favorites there. Kansas State in that mix too. Shame on the Big 12 for not having State playing Utah in the regular season. But either way, it's obviously heavy. I mean, what a slap in the face of the Big 12, Rod. Look at number 31. That's Florida State at SMU. Like SMU cracking top 31. The Big 12 can't get in there. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but you know, again, this is one person's rating and K-Ford ratings, whatever that even means. But it does show you the Longhorns are playing some of the feature games of the year, which, you know, again, it's why Texas moved to the SEC for these huge home games, huge road trip games for Texas fans to Michigan, to A&M, the Oklahoma game every year. It's where you really want to be. And we can talk about where the Big 12 belongs. But at the same time, this is exactly why the leaders wanted this program in this conference for exactly this scenario.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, Texas, there's so many marquee games this year for Texas, for Quinn Ewers, for, you know, all the guys who are trying to showcase their talent. You'll be on a big stage. You'll be going up against NFL talent. There'll be, I mean, the NFL scouts, when they come to watch these big games, which they all go to watch those games because they get to, you know, watch so many of these different prospects over so many years on both of these squads, whether it be Texas at Texas versus Georgia, the Texas at Michigan game is going to be like that too. Texas at Oklahoma is always like that. It's a perfect time for you guys to showcase their skills, right? To showcase on a real big stage. And Texas is going to have a lot of those big stage marquee games. So I think that's exciting, obviously, for the fans. To getting back to the Big 12, though, I will say this. About Colorado, they did have some of the most watched games last year in college football.
They did. Actually,
just throwing it out there. I mean, you ain't got to be good for people to watch you. All right, people watch the Kardashians all the time. Kardashians ain't got a damn skill set at all, but a lot of people watch them. But, hey, watchability sometimes ain't really got nothing to do with how good you are and how many games you win. So people will watch Colorado just because, you know. And you know who knows that? The video game. That's why they made them a top 20 team on the game, even though they won four games last year, because they know they're very popular and people are going to want to play them. And who else in the – name me somebody else in the Big 12 that's got two top 20 picks on their team.
Nope.
I mean, Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders are likely going to be in that category in terms of where they're drafted. And nobody else in the Big 12 got that. So I'm not saying I'm going to pick Colorado to win. My picks are Utah and Oklahoma State to win it just because of continuity. They're the – one of four teams in the country that returns head coach, OC, DC, strength and conditioning coach, and a multiple-year starting quarterback. But I don't know. I'm just saying that Colorado, don't sleep on them in terms of them being an appealing watch for college football fans. They may like them. But the Longhorns, you could argue this season, they are, based on these kind of watchability ratings, that they are kind of the number one draw potentially this upcoming college football season. They have a potential to be. Especially with all those big marquee games and considering the offseason Texas had, Quinn Ewers on the video game, Xavier Worthy setting the record at the combine for the 40-yard dash, you know, Texas coming off, you know, final four appearance in the college football playoff, a lot of momentum for Texas in the offseason. So there's a lot of interest and buzz around the program. If Texas can And that Michigan game, if they can cash in there, that is a really, you know, good game. Texas finds a way to win. You know, Texas is going to be propelled to being, you know, an elite team, one of the best teams in the country. And then that Georgia game, Georgia is likely going to be number one, if not number one, number two. And Texas will probably end up being a top five team as well by that time. And then you could be talking about that game being a one versus two matchup or something wild like that potentially. That would be crazy.
I love it. And, you know, somebody messaged in. Thank you, Matthew, for throwing that. I mean, this list loses a lot of credibility when Ohio State and Michigan are not on it, which seems ridiculous. I don't know if that was forgotten, but if you look through the top 40, Michigan and Ohio State not appearing, which that's a fail. But I do note that Oklahoma, I mean, Texas is four of the top nine. Oklahoma is six of the top 18. Which tells you the difficulty of the schedule for Oklahoma. Same conversation about Texas. They play Texas. They play Alabama at home week 13. They play Tennessee. And I was talking to some Oklahoma fans who look at that Tennessee game week four as their first big litmus test because their first three games are very winnable. They'll be heavily favored. Their non-conference schedule, not great. They don't play a Michigan like Texas. That Tennessee game with Josh Heupel, bringing Tennessee into his where he won a Heisman Trophy, will be a lot of fun week four, but they also have a trip to Missouri. They've got a trip to LSU. They got a trip to Ole Miss. So we know the Oklahoma schedule is very difficult. So they get six of the top 18 as they move in there. Let me ask you this, guys. I heard of this conversation today. Texas, Georgia, number one most watchable game. It's most anticipated game of the year. That and the Ohio State, Oregon game. If Texas wins it, there's no field storming, right? I mean, there's none of that. Like, right? I mean, we're not storming fields.
No.
The last time I could find where Texas fans stormed the field was the Houston Cougars in like 1990, like David Klingler and Jack Pardee. Texas was number 14. Houston was number three. That's not happening, right? We're not. Yep. I mean, Texas fans need to be put on notice. They got to win the game first to make it a conversation. But there's no field storming at Texas. You're one versus two or three, right?
No, people were talking about that. I think before the Bama game.
Yeah.
Whether the students were going to rush the field if they beat Alabama that year, a couple of years ago when Texas came really close to beating Alabama. Texas, unfortunately, that's one of the things I don't think Texas football can ever do. Unless you win a national title, you can rush the field. But then you don't rush the field at somebody else's place on a neutral location. You rush the field at your own place, usually. I don't think Texas could or should ever rush the field. That's kind of my stance, and I'm sticking to it. If you're a blue blood like Texas, what are you rushing the field for? Is it a shock to you that you beat somebody? I mean, that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't be that much of an underdog anyway to ever have to pull an upset that is that dramatic where you got to rush the field. I'm going to say it never applies to Texas. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that conversation around the Alabama game was obviously was spurring up a little bit. Texas was, what, 21.5-point underdogs?
They were, yeah. They were.
So coming into that game, I think the expectation was, listen, just cover, and we'll have seen enough in that game to think that we're on the right path. You know, you come off of a 5-7 season. You're not necessarily expecting a team that's ready to compete nationally, and you didn't, right? You went 8-5. But, you know, you took
– The dawn of a new season of Futurama is coming to Hulu July 29th.
That's great.
But I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
Yeah. That's the best damn show I ever saw.
July 29th, streaming only on Hulu.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit dicks.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What was a Heisman-winning quarterback to the wire and a team like Alabama with all the talent and the program, you know, kind of established program building over the last decade plus, you know, basically to the final 30 seconds. So for that, you know, it was certainly a reason for Texas fans to think maybe it could be a possibility, though I think deep down a lot of Texas fans kind of see it as almost a disrespect to its own university to go out there and storm the field. Because again, you know, it's one of the reasons why you don't see dogpiling after conference championships, supers, clinchings, regional wins. You know, it's because they expect to be where they're at, and where they dogpile is when, you know, that hardware is coming back home. I think Texas football has that same kind of understanding as well.
Amen, brother.
Agreed. Heck, yep. Even in 05 at the Rose Bowl, you know, you see Vince Young with, I got a picture right up here with the confetti coming down. The fans are still in the stands. They're cheering him. They're rooting for him. They know nobody left. But they didn't storm the Rose Bowl. I don't think you're allowed to do that. But that's the excitement for the Longhorns to be back in that conversation, playing these huge games. Four of the top nine, according to those ratings, and you know, we can nitpick which ones are right or wrong. But still, that tells you where the Longhorns stand with huge games. And Rod, that leads something we've talked about with Quinn Ewers, who's going to be one of the three Longhorns going up to SEC Media Days next week with Steve Sarkisian. That'll be Wednesday afternoon, day three. It's four coaches each day, two each morning, two each afternoon, starting Monday up in Dallas, the Omni Hotel. And Sark will be there, of course, and Quinn Ewers, Kelvin Banks, and then Jade Barron, the senior corner from the Austin area here. He will be part representing the defense. But for Quinn Ewers, obviously the questions will be, you know, where is he? We're hearing more about his leadership, his ability to take control of this team. We're hearing more and more that it's Quinn's team now. I'm assuming that'll be a big part of the conversation. Sark's bringing him there to be the leader of that offense along with Kelvin Banks. I think that's two guys are hoping to be in the NFL next year.
Yeah, I think it's it makes sense, right? We looked at Matt Miller's way too early mock draft that he came out with a couple of weeks ago. He has both Quinn Ewers and Kelvin Banks as top 10 picks. Quinn Ewers, third quarterback off the board, number 10 pick in his mock draft. Had Kelvin Banks as the first tackle taken in that draft. I believe that's the number 5 overall pick going to Washington. So those guys are no-brainers. And also, when you think about Jade Barron going as well, that's also kind of a no-brainer because he is the only proven commodity on defense that's done it consistently over time. Everybody at Texas, right? Trey Moore coming in, that's coming from somewhere else. So is Makuba. They've done it, but different places. And Trey Moore doing it at a different level. Anthony Hill and Malik Muhammad, those guys are going to be awesome. Potentially, you know, that's the future of your defense. Those guys potentially could be all conference defenders next year. But for those guys, you know, they last year is when they started to ascend. And so they haven't even had a whole entire season starting, even though they got really high upside and really high ceilings. So for me, he's kind of a no-brainer as well. I think people just really, they underestimate how good that 2022 season was. I mean, it's really underrated. I was going back and looking at some stats about that 2022 season. I'll just give you one of them that stood out to me. He is the first player since 2000. And we're talking about FBS defensive back since 2000 to register double-digit tackles for loss, a fumble return for a touchdown, and interception return for a touchdown in the same season. He didn't even make all conference, but he was arguably one of the top 4 or 5 best defensive backs in all of the Big 12 that season. And even last year, you don't win that U of H game without him. And you can make the argument, I don't know if you win the Bama game because he makes the first big play in that Bama game to really start you off and get your easy points on the board early on in that game. So Jade Barron makes sense too, just because I think Sark respects his leadership. I mean, this is a guy that he plays with a certain fearlessness. And I think that showed in him going out there in that U of H game where, you know, this is a guy that didn't play in the first half, but goes out there injured in the second half, makes the game-winning play for you. Hell, man, he could have embarrassed himself out there, could have humiliated himself out there, going out there 75-80% when his opponent, you know, could have, made him look bad, or he could have re-injured himself. I mean, there was a lot that could have gone wrong for him in that situation. He didn't think about that. All he thought about was, his team, and they needed him, and he was a better option than they had at the moment, and he was right about that. So I like the three that they brought. I think it makes a lot of sense.
And Jhede came back, of course, could have been in the NFL draft, probably almost certainly would have been drafted day three for sure. He wants to improve that stock, whether it's playing corner, nickel, safety. Rod, real quick, and I want to get to this Quinn Ewers conversation with you, CJ, but you know, while we're on defensive backs, we've talked about it a lot. It's going to be the spotlight, you know, position, I think, as far as the biggest question mark outside of defensive tackle, those two spots. But is it fair to say that with he and Makuba, Derek Williams, what we've seen, Manny Muhammad, they're going to be a smarter secondary. There'll be a higher IQ secondary, feels to me. Because you just said something about Jhede that I agree with, that he plays fearlessly. But you know this, fearlessness comes from confidence. Confidence comes from film study and knowing your job, right? You get on the field because you understand it. And I feel like there were times last year, we all saw it, where the secondary looked like they weren't sure what they were doing. They looked like they were, this the same route over and over again. I feel like that's where we're headed with as far as the conversation goes. That'll be a higher IQ, more malleable secondary led by Makuba, led by Jhede Barron, Derek Williams, you know, Michael Taft always in the right spot. That's a good place to start when you're starting with guys who do the film work, do the study. They walk on the field knowing what their job is.
Yep, I totally agree with you. It's a great way to put it. I think it's a higher football IQ secondary. And you know, Jhede Barron's a prime example. I brought up that interception in the Bama game, and we were talking about this a couple of days ago. You know, most people forget that he baited the quarterback. He talks about that. He talks about earlier that week, prior to the Bama game, he was watching Bama film and jotted down in his notes, steal, next to that same play that he intercepted. And in his notes, he basically told coaches that, hey, on this play, I think I got a chance to steal. And if you watch him on that drive, he actually adjusts his leverage. At first on that drive, he's playing outside leverage at nickel position. And right before he gets the interception, he cheats. He moves inside ever so slightly because he recognized the formation. He recognized the play. And he thought, man, this might be my chance. He said he didn't think they were going to run it that early. But when he saw the formation and saw the personnel group, he thought, they're going to run this play. And he baited them. And he made him think he was going to sink and drift, and he didn't. And that was the read for Jalen Milroe. Simple one. If he drifts back, I'm throwing to that underneath out route, and he jumped it. And that's what kind of player you're dealing with. You're dealing with a football investigator like Jhede Barron. Uses his film study. The guy wants to be a defensive coordinator when he, you know, is done playing football. Uses his film study in preparation, but also deciphering the clues that are presented to him. The clues that are presented to be the alignment of the receiver, the down and the distance and the personnel grouping and the formation. And I used to do that too. So I recognize it. The difference between me and Jhede is he got a better hands, number one. The difference between me and Jhede is he's fearless. I played with a proper amount of fear. I would second guess myself and go, well, what if I'm wrong? I've deciphered all these clues pre-snap. I've narrowed down the ways the offense is going to attack me to about two or three plays based on my film study and preparation. And you know what? I'm jumping it. If I get it, I'm jumping. If I get the double slant, I'm jumping. If I get the smash route and they want to throw the in route on the number one, I'm jumping it, right? That's what Nathan Vasher did. That's the difference between the fearless. I play with a proper. So I would use that information to help me on the play. So I'm going to play the upfield shoulder to make sure they don't beat me with the double move or the out and up or the, you know, the slant and go. But that's not going to make their interception. That's going to get the knockdown. And that was cool with Rod B because I'm not trying to get beat. But that fear, that certain amount of fear I played with kept me from being a playmaker. Right? A guy that can go make the play. That's what Nasty Nate, Nathan Vasher used to do. That's why I said there are certain guys who are ball hawks because they think differently. When they narrow down the choices, they go, Malik Muhammad goes, I'm taking it. I'm going. They're going to run an out route here. There's about a 70% chance they run an out route. Ooh, they run it. I'm not hesitating. I'm gone. And that's a fearlessness. I didn't play with that. If I saw that play and I knew they were going to run an out route 70% of the time, I'm going, okay, you know what? I'm breaking to the upfield shoulder, but I'm breaking really hard. But I'm going to use my discipline and my fundamentals and technique to make sure that I'm safeguarding myself. But that's the difference between guys who are playmakers and ball hawks and guys like Rod B who are just technicians. And I was a technician. I knew I was. Even if I undercut the ball, guys, I was probably going to drop it. What's the point in that? All right, just get the PBU anyway. That's how I thought. But the thing about Jhede Barron, he's fearless. And that really, they came back to haunt him in 2023, right? What did they use against him? False keys, out and ups, hitch and goes, stock blocking goals. That's what they did on them in the TCU game, in the Washington game. Hell, even against Oklahoma State, you saw some of that. So that's what that's the difference, right? They use his fearlessness and aggression against him last year. So the evolution for Jadae Barron is, all right, now that I got to use that investigative ability that I have as a defender, but now I need to make sure that my technique and my fundamentals are so sound that I also can take that chance. I can take that calculated risk, but I won't necessarily give up. I won't necessarily be giving up big plays if I'm wrong or if I miscalculate. You know what I mean?
Love it. Great insights, Rod B. From the field level, only here on the On Texas Football Channel. No doubt about that. This is Rod B. Always talking about dropping INTs, but I remember a pick six against OU.
That's true.
Drop the ball, my man.
Count the ones that matter, baby. Count the ones that matter. I count them.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man, that's great stuff right there. And that's, you know, the as I call it, Rod, the 5-1-2 crew, CJ, where, you know, a lot of times this year there'll be six guys on the field of the five or of the 11 defensive players that are right here from Austin, Texas, with Makuba and Jadae and Alfred Collins and the kids from Westlake, right? Colton Vosick, Ethan Burke, and Michael Taff in the back end. So six guys. All here from the 5-1-2, which, you know, Sark has targeted and keeping the right guys in place, I think, which is a lot of fun for folks here in Austin where we are to see those guys who we saw play in high school flourishing at Texas. As for Quinn Ewers going to be there, as far as your investigative side, CJ, what are the questions that Quinn's going to be asked? What are the things that the national media is going to want to hear from Quinn? We're going to play the Arch Manning here video coming up about he's now in the video game. That became a huge story today virally. We'll play that for you. But while we're on Quinn, all those spotlight games we talked about, four of the top nine most watchable games, you know, Quinn's going to have a chance to really, you know, launch himself to the top of the Heisman race if he performs well. What do you think the big conversation surrounding Quinn will be? Because we've not been and have not covered an SEC media days where you're getting the questions from the SEC side of it, the national media. We'll all be there. What do you think Quinn will be we peppered with starting next week, next Wednesday?
Yeah, from the national perspective and probably some of the SEC as well, is, you know, what does that change? You're most forward looking about, you know, what are you most forward, you know, looking into about the SEC? Are you excited about the conference? You know, some of the new environments, do you believe that your team is going to be, you know, kind of able to sustain some of these pressures that you'll be facing against the Georgia? Your Kentuckys and your Arkansas are probably a little bit different than your Iowa States and your Kansases of the day, right? There's a little bit more of a change in skill talent at that level in the SEC. Will you be able to sustain that? Right now, I think Quinn and this Texas team is pretty confident that they'll be able to. Now, from a local media and a Texas perspective, I think the number one thing that I wish I had asked him when I was at the Manning Passing Academy down in Thibodaux, Louisiana, a couple of weeks ago was, so how's the red zone coming along, right? You know, How's that camaraderie with the wide receiver group coming? Because, you know, he's been able to throw with these guys for a full spring now. We have a few summer workouts in the bag as well. I know these guys are doing the summer conditioning. Inside of that, you'll also get the quarterbacks out there on the afternoon turf, throwing to your wide receivers, your tight ends, your running backs, get a little 7-on-7 action as well. But what are they looking like? Are you able to have kind of that chemistry that you had with Xavier Worthy over the past few years? That's going to be a big talking point as well. But one point I'll be really looking forward to hearing about is that red zone, because it was abysmal a year ago. There's no way to shortchange it. You know, it was bad, and it kept Texas from blowing out a lot of teams, inflating some numbers for Quinn and Jonathan Brooks and Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. But at that point, right, you know, if that's one of the biggest issues that Texas had a year ago and was still able to go, what was it, 12-2 and still have plenty of success across the board, I think you take that. But now that the expectations are a little bit higher, you come in, you know, presumed top five team in the country, you're going to be asked to compete for a national championship. To do so, have to be able to turn 3-7 and convert in the red zone whenever that, you know, your offense gets into that area.
Rod, I know you've broken those numbers. I mean, we were all over it last year. I mean, the red zone was the nemesis. And between that and inside two minutes of the half defensively, the two biggest issues for the Longhorns. What you know, if you were asking Quinn that same question, what would your question be about red zone efficiency? Sark 2 next Wednesday.
I mean, it would it probably, and he probably wouldn't even give me the answer, but I'd probably ask him, you know, based on you guys' off-season research and your off-season analysis, you know, have you guys found out any factors that may have contributed to how poor you were in the red zone? Anything that stood out to you? Was there any underlying factor, some trend, some pattern? Because I've been trying to find it, and I cannot find it, the pattern or the trend for Texas. The only pattern or trend that really stood out for Texas in the red zone is that they've gotten as the team has gotten better, they've gotten worse in the red zone. It is the weird, it's the craziest thing. Like in 2021, when they, you know, with a bad Texas team in 2021, they were a top five red zone offense. I'm not making it up. They were third in touchdown percentage in the red zone. They were fourth in red zone offense overall. And in 2022, they were top 20 in red zone offense. So they still were pretty damn good. And I think they were 65th in touchdown percentage in the red zone. And in 2023, they dropped to 120th in touchdown percentage in the red zone and 90th in red zone offense. And maybe I would bring up those numbers and ask them, hey, what do you think's response? Like, what do you attribute that to? What do you think's the biggest factor in you guys becoming a better team, more talented team, a team that knows how to win in clutch time, but yet in the red zone, just getting progressively worse? And yet every part of the team has gotten better. And probably except the secondary.
The dawn of a new season of Futurama is coming to Hulu July 29th.
That's great.
But I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
July 29th, streaming only on Hulu.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit dicks.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, but man, almost every part of the team has gotten better, except that it is my theory now is that it's a post Bijan hangover, like post Bijan and Rojo. Like they were so elite and good in the red zone, just put some Bijan on it with a side of Rojo, that even Sark took it for granted as a play caller and a play designer. And now they really have no identity in the red zone. It's like, do we want to play bully ball? And my other question would be, because I've been looking it up too, have you found out what concepts work best in the red zone, where you have higher rates of efficiency, higher success rates in the red zone? What concepts work? Because I found it out. They probably won't tell me, but I've figured out what concepts work best for them. I wonder if they done that deep dive too. Has Quinn done that deep dive? Because this is what Quinn should be doing on his own. Like Sark's got to do his own stuff, but this is what Quinn should be wondering why the hell they're not better in the red zone. Like it should be one of the things that he's obsessed with. I know Sark's obsessed with it, but it, just like I talked about with Jadae Barron, right? I need Sark to be a chess master. He's got to win the chess match with the opposing defensive coordinator and the opposing head coach who he's going up against. Same thing with the defensive coordinator going up against the offensive coordinator. There's a chess match going on, right? Adjustments and counters happening. Players also have to win their chess match. Jadae Barron won his against Jalen Monroe. And Quinn, part of his chess match as a player, he's got to find out what he can do to contribute to better efficiency in the red zone. Is it him not going through progressions quick enough? Was it his timing with the wide receivers on the outside? Is it, you know, like, whatever it may be, like, he needs to dive into that too. That's going to be, I think, something NFL scouts also are going to want to look at, is his efficiency also in the red zone. And it's one of the biggest mysteries right now surrounding Sark's tenure here in Texas. I haven't figured it out. I'm a football theorist, and I dive as deep as anybody. And Sark didn't figure it out either, ladies and gentlemen. They only had one game where they were good in the red zone. That was against Oklahoma State. And even after that game, Mike Gundy said what? He said, that's not the team I saw on film. You know what he was talking about? Red zone.
Yeah.
The team looked the same as they always look. He said, that's not the team I saw on film. They were better. Yeah, because they were better in the red zone, Mike Gundy. That was the best red zone game they had all season.
Yeah, that's an amazing stat, Rod. Inside the top five as a 5-7 team, 8-4 top 20, and 120th as a 12-2 team. And we know the Oklahoma game kind of were killed at the goal line, not getting in that football game. CJ, expand on that real quick, because I think that's a fascinating conversation. You know, Bijan Roshan hangover. Some running backs are just better in the red zone, right? They have a nose for the goal line. I think of Marcus Allen back in the day, Earl Campbell, of course, Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson. These guys just knew how to get to the end zone. Bijan had that. Roshan had that. Is that fair to say that maybe Sark underestimated just how big, you know, it's the same plays, but different guys running them, and that leads you into have to pass the ball, and your running backs don't get there. We saw Savion Redd with the Red Cat package, trying to find ways. You got T'Vondre Sweat and Byron Murphy coming in the game, overthinking it at some level, and Roshan and Bijan just made it so simple. Just, you know, hand it to those guys. They're going to find the pylon.
Yeah, it helps when the individual talent, you know, kind of overcomes what flaws you might have in the blocking scheme or the talent up front. With Bijan, you certainly had it. We saw it last year in his rookie campaign with the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, he had some of the most elusive, impressive, you know, individual highlight reels that you'll find from any NFL running back. And he did that, what, his first 5, 6, 8 games as an NFL professional. It just comes so, you know, silky smooth with Bijan, right? It's flawless to an extent. With Roshan, again, 6'2.5", 220 pounds, he's a bigger back with that. And at times during both of their Texas careers, I actually thought Roshan was the tougher back to bring down, because that contact just didn't seem to affect him. That bigger body that he was able to possess, guys just kind of bounced off, or he was able to put a hand back in the dirt and maintain, you know, his feet kind of chugging along. And I thought at times Jonathan Brooks did a great job of that in 2023. Where that went wrong, obviously, was close to the goal line. And again, it's not Jonathan Brooks' fault, but again, I think that there were some other elements to that part where Texas just couldn't find the end zone. A lot of it started with that upfront scheme. You know, you didn't see the push that you expected, even when Texas added a Byron Murphy, a T'Vondre Sweat, you know, some of these six jumbo offensive line looks that they had, you just didn't get the push that you expected. So it didn't matter whether or not you had a running back that could fall forward or brush off contact, because when you're getting hit 2 yards in the backfield, falling forward and brushing off contact gets you right back to where you began, and that's not in the end zone. So I think that's kind of the issue, is you'll see that cleaned up a little bit more with the offensive line. Now, maybe if there is anything to the concept of Sarkisian, you know, maybe having that reliance on the running game, just being able to power things in, and it was the running backs that were able to do so off of their individual skill. Well, maybe this year we'll see a couple more creative passing routes, right? You have some guys that are able to create with their own separation. I'd like to see a Jonte Cook or an Isaiah Bond run that whip route. Xavier Worthy only ran it a few times in his career. Kind of that post-corner comeback route. Both Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell had success with that. A.D. Mitchell ran it against Houston on the first drive of the game. And again, I believe Xavier Worthy ran it against was Iowa State. You know, he did twice. He had the whip route. Again, he had the post-corner comeback. So those are just different ways that these wide receivers can, you know, create separation, get open. I would have loved to have seen that a little bit more, because you have a good quarterback and you have talented wide receivers. So we'll see. But maybe in 2024, that offensive line is experienced a little bit more. It's a little bit more aggressive. I think that you'll see more success in the red zone regardless of the philosophy there. It's all about just having that continuity there. And, of course, a whole lot of emphasis and times hearing this offseason about why they wouldn't be able to score in 2023 inside the 20.
Yeah, interesting you bring up the route concepts you brought up, the whip route, the the post corner was the other one you brought up. When I looked at plays in the red zone, most successful concepts, most efficient, most effective concepts in the red zone, misdirection stood out. Like all the different things, any type of misdirection, the routes you're talking about essentially is a form of misdirection. Get corner going one way and then back another way. Whether you're talking about split flow or you're talking about some of the split wide zone that they love too. These are a lot of concepts that I've seen that actually work really well in the red zone, is some form of misdirection, which Sark's loves. I think that's something I found that is disproportionately more successful for Sark in the red zone compared to some of the other plays they run in the red zone. So I agree.
And I agree with both of y'all. It's great insight, guys, because I think it goes back to Quinn. Quinn's got to be a better decision maker down there, getting them into the right play, out of the right play. And you know, maybe it's just a bad stretch for sure. And Bijan and Roshan were elite at that. And maybe CJ Baxter puts on that muscle, becomes that more of that power back that can get that extra yard and power his way into the end zone, all those things. But it will be a factor, folks, here in 2024 with all those marquee games, the Michigans, the Georgias. You're going to need to, you know, as you said, CJ, 7-3 changes games, without a doubt. Hey, listen, now I want to tell you about our friends at Texas Electricity Ratings, and we know there are a lot of folks down there in Houston that are dealing with electricity issues right now, and we're thinking about you. I know my parents are down in Houston. I think they're still without power today. I think they're, you know, hoping it's back on by tomorrow. They are staying with neighbors or cousins of ours, trying to figure that out. But either way, bigger picture outside of Hurricane Beryl and what's going on, if you live in a city like Dallas or Houston and it's deregulated, you understand and are fully aware that the electricity market can be confusing, can be better for sure, but it also can be confusing. Our friends and partners at TexasElectricityRatings.com are a shopping website that lets you compare those prices, read actual customer reviews in real time, and find the electricity that fits your needs. Also filters out those gimmicky plans like on websites like Power to Choose. They're going to trick you into expensive bills and a program and a plan you don't want, I promise you. So if you're in the market for a new electricity plan, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com. Please include the /OTF to let them know you heard about it right here on the On Texas Football channel. That's TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all of your electricity needs, and hook them. And again, we're sending our prayers your way down there in Houston, greater Houston area, with all the folks. I mean, over still almost 2 million people. 3 days later, 2.5 days later, still dealing without power. Here is a super chat from Jay. Appreciate that. I say, guys, wondering if you had any updates on the recently drafted horns and how things are going, such as Jordan Whittington. Let's go to you on this, Rod. You've been a part of this where you were a draft pick and, you know, kind of the waiting game through mini camps and rookie mini camps. And camp will begin. Houston Texans go to camp next Thursday because they're playing the Hall of Fame game in Canton on August 1st. You've been a part of this, Rod. I mean, what are the drafted Longhorns doing? I know, gosh, Byron Murphy, congratulations to him, got engaged. He's engaged now to be married. But just as a player perspective, what are the things you're trying to absorb? And it's a whole new landscape, whether it's, you know, high school into college, now college into pro.
Yeah, drinking through a fire hose. A lot of those young guys are, right, moving to a new city and trying to learn, you know, a new system and also learn how to be a professional, right? And that's a big part of it. And so I think a lot of these guys, and they're smart and they're with really good organization, so it'll happen naturally. But, man, when you get you a mentor in the league, you get one of those older vets, a true pro, right, guys who have signed the second contract already, been in the league for 5-6 years, way more than the average, which is like 3.5 years, by the way, now. You know, those guys can really help you prevent you from making some of the same mistakes that they made, and really help you become a professional and really help you have kind of a professional perspective. So I would really advise the guys, suggest the guys, hey, man, find one of those older guys that's willing to do it. Some guys aren't. Most of the guys are willing to be a mentor to you, especially at your position, take you under their wing, and take advantage of that, man. Take advantage of that knowledge and that wisdom. It'll save you a lot of money, save you from making some mistakes. Like even when it comes to like where you're going to live and what part of town, where you're going to shop, all that stuff, man, it really does. Like it made a huge difference for me. And for all the guys I talk to, it always makes a huge difference for them. About the guys though in the league now, I know Xavier Worthy wasn't practicing much because he was dealing with an injury. So he didn't practice much during their mini camps. From what I heard about A.D. Mitchell, though, he looks amazing. Like they've been very complimentary. I mean, glowing reports about A.D. Mitchell coming out of the mini camps and the OTAs. So I've heard really good things about him. Jordan Whittington, I hadn't heard much. I've just seen some stuff from Jordan Whittington, but I hadn't heard much. CJ, maybe you've heard a little bit more in that regard about Jordan Whittington. And yeah, and Byron Murphy, from what from what I hear about Coach McDonald, they're excited about him being the foundational building block for his defense. Like that's how they look at Byron Murphy. And I was like, no, I'm gonna start building my defense in my own image. And that was his first draft pick. I mean, that's how much he thinks of Byron Murphy. So Byron Murphy's in a really good spot. I saw he's got a number. I think he's 91 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. He's doing really well. Haven't heard much about Tavondre Sweat. Haven't heard haven't heard about Jonathan Brooks's, you know, rehab and recovery yet. I know he's expected to be available this season at some point. But, man, Dave Canales, who is now the head coach with the Panthers, man, he swears up and down he's going to run the rock. Like, he's going to run the rock. And he talks a lot about – every time he speaks to the media, he unsolicited brings up Jonathan Brooks and how good Jonathan Brooks is. So, I don't know about the fantasy. I'm not a fantasy guy, but, CJ, you might be a fantasy guy. At one point, when he's healthy, Jonathan Brooks is going to be getting a lot of work in that offense from Dave Canales and JT Sanders in that offense. Those two guys, I think JT Sanders is going to end up starting. Both of those guys will be starting by year two. Honestly, yeah, they might be starting by the end of year one, truth be told.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers went out this past offseason, added a ton of offensive linemen, because I think they saw a year ago, they said, yeah, what's the good of having a franchise-caliber quarterback if the kid's just going to be pelted into the ground every drive, right? That offensive line was pretty, pretty bad. Yet, and even then, I mean, you saw some pretty good numbers from Miles Sanders, the guy that they went and picked up from the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a bit of a surprise because, again, you look at the offensive line, you say, well, this is a ragtag bunch. You know, it shouldn't be, that really effective on the ground. And yet you saw big runs, you saw breakaways. Miles Sanders found daylight at times. And still, I think that, at times you certainly will see that from Jonathan Brooks this year as well.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Dave Canales is a good, you look at what his track record was. He was in Seattle when Geno Smith had his best year. Geno Smith was seen as a bust, right? And part of it was the way they ran the football. They pounded the rock, ran the ball, and Geno Smith had his best year, went to the Pro Bowl. Then he goes to Tampa, and Baker Mayfield all of a sudden has his best year. And part of it was running the ball, being disciplined with it. That's why Canales is now in Carolina. He wants to be able to run the rock and, Jonathan Brooks be a big part of that because they need Bryce Young to be a part of it. Oh, look at that. Rob Vogel with a super chat saying, happy birthday, Mama Vogel. Is this your mom's birthday?
Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mama Vogel.
They celebrated on the beach this past weekend. They dodged the hurricane a little bit. I'm glad they're back home now. But I'll be back up in Dallas for SEC Media Days. Get to go spend a couple days back home and celebrate with the family again. So, happy birthday, Mom. I know you're watching tonight, getting your Texas fix, and I hope you all have a great dinner tonight.
Nice. Happy birthday, Mama Vogel. Where were they at the beach? Yeah. They weren't down in the dirty water at Galveston, or they were down in Port A or wherever? Dodging sharks.
They were down in Jamaica dodging sharks, kind of getting out there and enjoying what would have been their honeymoon a few years ago. So having a good time.
Love that. Oh, well, happy birthday. That's awesome. Rod, your mentor, he's talking about finding an old head as a mentor. That was Dre Bly for you, right? I remember you telling me about that.
Dre Bly. Yeah, Dre Bly was fantastic, man. He was great. Had a lot of fun there in Detroit. But Dre Bly taught me a lot. Honestly, taught me a lot about football, but also some life lessons, too, hanging out in the D. Dre Bly was one of those guys for me. Now coaching. Is he coaching back in the D now, if I'm not mistaken?
I think he is.
I think he is back in the D. Yeah.
Well, I remember, I think we've all heard the story of J.J. Watt when he got to Houston, found out where D'Amico Ryans lived and said, I want to live there. That's it. D'Amico likes that neighborhood. That's where I'm living. D'Amico is the smartest guy I know. I'm going there. Right by him. That's a good idea.
Mama Vogel, happy birthday, Mama Vogel.
Happy birthday. Absolutely. Beautiful. We'll see you up in Dallas at SEC Media Days next week. Before we get into the Arch Manning conversation, because I know it's top of mind for a lot of folks, let me tell you about when it comes to protecting all your stuff. And again, we're reminded about that again this week with hurricanes and things we're seeing right now, floods and power outages. You need to ask yourself, are you in good hands? With more than 35 years of experience, you will be with Texas alum Mark Saunders. If you're not actually sure about the good hands you're in and where you stand, Make sure you give Mark a call. He's a Texas Allstate agent. Mark Saunders, the only insurance agent you'll need. Everything from your home to your car, your boat, motorcycles, RVs, and ATVs and beyond. If you're looking for someone local, Austin, Round Rock area, give Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders and his office a call today or tomorrow, 512-218-8571, 218-8571. And again, with hurricanes and tornadoes and everything we've seen, are you sure you're covered? You want to be. Are you in good hands? With more than 35 years of experience, you will be with Texas alum Mark Saunders, 512-218.
The dawn of a new season of Futurama is coming to Hulu July 29th.
That's great.
But I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's the best damn show I ever saw.
July 29th, streaming only on Hulu.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit dicks.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
8571. Call him this week or tomorrow immediately to make sure you are covered. And we'll be talking to a Longhorn fan and all the conversation. We got baseball portal commitment coming tonight or tomorrow, CJ. We'll ask you about that. But first, I want to get to the baseball side because Longhorns do have another commitment for Jim Schlossnagel and his staff. But I wanted to play the Arch Manning commercial that essentially dropped. And your guys' thoughts, because for up until today, we thought Arch Manning was not going to be in the video game. He had not opted in. But then today, it was pretty clearly revealed on his own Instagram account, where Arch very rarely posts anything. This was immediately dropped right around lunchtime today.
All right, here we go. Let's go gun far, simming right nasty, Z-Riz, F-Whirly Bird, Alert Scarecrow, all right? Use a little cadence here. All right, you ready?
Are you sure about this?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the best way to focus on football, right? So get your eyes on the safety. Be vocal out there.
Yes, coach. I mean, Uncle E.
It's better.
Green 18. Green 18. Omaha? It's a hunt. Ready, ready. All right, there he is. There he is.
Now! Boom! Touchdown! Now that's why you're in the game.
EA Sports. I'm in the game.
You know.
All right, guys. Your thoughts. Nice. I mean, is there a better recruiting tool for Texas than that right there? Good Lord. I mean, Quinn's on the – your starting quarterback's on the cover of it, and your backup quarterback is getting paid by estimates up to $60,000 to be in the game and do that commercial.
It's a beautiful thing. It's the greatest celebrity endorsement, I think. Just the Manning family, period. And Arch Manning is one of the greatest celebrity endorsements in college football history. Yeah, like that's essentially because that's what it is to me. When the Mannings, the first family of football, sign off on one of their own, the next generation to go to your university or be a part of your program, that's you don't get a better celebrity endorsement than that. And you know, celebrity endorsements are everywhere these days, but in the football world, that's the biggest. And I always knew, and I said it from the get-go, and you remember me saying this, it was always a negotiating ploy. The stance, he didn't want to be a distraction or wanted to be about football, didn't want to be in the game. It's all negotiations. It's negotiations, man. Negotiations. And the $60,000, $70,000 figure or whatever he allegedly got, okay, that makes sense. Or, you know, I don't even know if if that's enough. Honestly, he probably deserved more than that. But that makes sense because I never bought that he wanted to focus on football. It's like that didn't make any sense at all. Yeah.
And do you think, CJ, that he lets his Uncle E, as he calls him, as E is what everybody calls me, do you think that there's a – I'm an Uncle E and I'm in many a place right now with my nephews and my nieces. So it's did Uncle E negotiate that? Did the Omaha Productions, do you think Arch is involved, or is it Grandpa and Uncles that are doing that, or his dad?
I'm sure that whole family's got some sort of say in it, right? You know, they've had plenty of reason and history to have figured out the best way to kind of approach this new age of college football. I know that it's obviously changed since Peyton and Eli were in college, but at the same time, they've been in commercials all the way. Like when I was growing up, Rod and Aaron, I mean, you couldn't watch a show on ESPN without seeing at least one of the Mannings on a commercial during a commercial break. I mean, it was amazing just how often that you would see, you know, kind of the Manning face just all over television. So for them to have, you know, kind of come to the agreement for Arch to be a part of, you know, the College Football 25 game that's coming out next week, I mean, credit to them. Because, again, I think that's one thing for Arch. I don't know how much of a video game player he is, but at the same time, it's a cool thing to be a part of it. You know, and for them to have that own commercial, I think, again, that's taking a page right out of Peyton and Eli's book, saying, let me get on a little bit of the, you know, the big screen, if you will, and let me become an endorsement marketing guy for whatever company that wants to pay me a nice dollar or two. So credit to Arch, because again, I'm sure that's a fun part for him to be a part of it. I'm not sure where they filmed it, but it wouldn't surprise me if they actually filmed that down at the Manning Passing Academy when they were all down there in Thibodaux, Louisiana. So that's a pretty cool deal. Good for Arch and good for the University of Texas again, because that is a really unique and impressive recruiting tool that you can pitch.
Well, and Rod, I know you're a master of the whole marketing side of this thing, but I'm watching this with LeBron James and Bronny, and it's all the negative press that's coming for LeBron's forcing it and making it happen for him, and, you know, creating a negative buzz for his kid. And, you know, the Mannings are just letting it happen, and it feels like they're doing it more organically, and there's more of a likability factor. I feel bad for Bronny that he's in this spot where he's got to go earn respect in a summer league and his locker room. And I think everybody understands what's happening. Whereas you compare that, cause these are the two biggest names in, you know, before, you know, last month in, you know, amateur sports, if there is still such a thing. And, you know, there's one side to handle it that way. And then the Bronny James thing is, you know, leading to negativity. I don't think we see that with Arch. It's just kind of likable. It's kind of just, you know, I'll play when it's my turn, the whole thing. We saw CJ's interview in Thibodaux last week where he says the right thing all the time, but now doing videos like this, that's much more absorbable, I think, for the general public than what we're seeing with Bronny James.
Yeah, now you're right about that, E. It's a much more palatable playbook on how to promote your next generation, a legacy, right? Whatever it is, whether it be, you know, the Arch Manning situation or the Bronny James situation, the managers have a better playbook on, you know, because everybody wants to bring up that dreaded word nepotism when talking about Bronny James. Nepotism is everywhere, right? Everywhere, every facet of our society, there's nepotism. It's all over the damn place. I wish that I'm accomplished enough one day that my daughter can be accused of, you know, getting some promotion or, you know, being a child of nepotism, right? A nepo baby or whatever it is. She probably won't have that, you know, that privilege. It won't happen for her. Nobody talks about that. Nobody brings that up when you're talking about Arch Manning. Nobody brings up the nepotism thing. Nobody's talking about that, even though obviously it's not directly father to son, but it's still in the Manning family, because you're right. It's almost their blueprint and their playbook is allowing at least a perspective on the outside that he's got to earn it. And with nepotism, there's an association with privilege. They're getting that because they're privileged. That's the only reason they're getting that position. Only reason that Bronny got drafted. The only reason that, you know, this player is getting this kind of treatment. And with Arch, they're, I don't know if that's on purpose, intentional, but their playbook battles against that perspective, because he is sitting and earning his spot and being patient. And, you know, even early on when he wasn't taking NIL deals and that kind of thing, like it seems very intentional, and it's just a better playbook overall to put Arch Manning in a place when he is the starter for him to have more public support. behind him. Bronny's, like you said, Bronny's got to earn everything now. He's got some of the hate, the LeBron hatred has now been passed on down to him. So you're right. It's a different playbook. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and CJ, you know, whether it's fair to Bronny, I mean, I feel bad for Bronny. Is I've got kids his age where it's like, you know, he's been put in a spot, whether he wanted it or not, where he's got to, if there's somebody that believes that spot belonged to them kind of deal, right? I mean, you've taken a spot that you didn't earn, even though J.J. Redick and the Lakers are all saying he earned it. This, you know, they're the same age. They really are. They're right about the same age. Their fathers are huge. Their fathers, their families are the biggest names in their respective sports. And it's, I just hope the best for both of them, I think is the way I would put it. But I think Arch is set up on a path to create his own success where Bronny's going to have to climb an uphill battle, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's one of those things with Arch, too. I think the talent matches the last name a little bit more, right? And that was the big talking point out of high school. And the recruiting rankings is, you know, a few years ago, obviously, we saw Bronny James in some of those early first-round mock drafts. And, again, I think it's a little unfair for Bronny, right? You know, because of the heightened LeBron-MJ debate, you know, you're going to get folks who, again, have never seen Bronny play before, but dislike him because of what side they fall on that debate. But at the same time, people also forget, I mean, the kid had a heart attack. I mean, he almost passed away playing basketball. Sure. For him to even be on the court playing as a freshman at USC, and then, I mean, he did hear his name drafted and he's going to be playing for the Lakers this year. I'd say that's pretty remarkable in its own self. Who knows where he would have been in his development if that never occurred. That's something to consider as well. But at the same time, I mean, Arch Manning is going to have every resource, every ounce of, you know, help with his family and situation to get to where he wants to be. And again, I think that bodes very well for what the future of Texas football will be with him as the starting quarterback here in Austin.
Yeah, I think it was Danny Davis at the Statesman who tweeted today that you can put all the Lamborghinis you want out in front of the stadium, but your starting quarterback's on the cover, your backup quarterback is doing that commercial. I mean, that's a pretty good recruiting pitch for Texas and the families that want to send their kid to play for Sark. That's about as good of a endorsement as you can get. Let's get some super chats in here as we're approaching our full hour here on the On Texas Football Tuesday stream. Anthony, thank you for that. It says baseball portal commitment. CJ, let's get back to that. Baseball portal, Jim Schlossnagel has talked about 18, 19-hour days for he and his staff. What are we hearing about what's happened and what's coming possibly in the next 24 hours?
Yeah, definitely. Listen, I think Texas is in store for a good week in the baseball portal. Again, they've been making tremendous moves out of the high school ranks as well. Bryce Navarre and Adrian Martinez in the 2024 class, both flipping over to Jim Schlossnagel and co. Right now, I still expect more additions in both the portal and the high school world as well. I want to go back to it because Texas actually added another JUCO pitcher today, Ethan Walker out of Walter State Community College. That's 2 days in a row that Texas has gone out to add a left-handed arm out of the community college JUCO ranks. Cade Bing was the first one out of McLennan JUCO. Listen, I think he's a special ball player. I think Cade Bing, I know a 3.33 ERA doesn't necessarily entice a whole lot of folks, you know, especially at the JUCO ranks. But listen, 70 innings and a third pitched last year, 75 strikeouts to only 12 walks, and he had a 1.04 whip. Whip is obviously walks and hits per innings pitch. MLB average, 1.1, 1.3 in that range. To be very, very good, I think Tariq Skubal of the Tigers actually has the league's best whip of 0.9. So to be right at one basically is tremendous. To have a higher K per nine than nine, if you will, also a very good sign. More strikeouts than innings pitched, always a good sign for me. So I think Texas is getting two really talented left-handed pitchers with Bing and Walker. Again, it's all about finding that mix, you know, those kind of lefty specialists, if you will. One of them's kind of like a three-quarter arm slot as well. So it's going to be a bit of a different look coming in late inning situation. They also have a few starts each under their belt. So Bing might actually be part of your weekend rotation when it's all said and done. I think they're both really talented additions.
Yeah, I think I talked to somebody who knows what was going on at A&M, and Max Wiener, the pitching coach, is really good. And one of the things that David Pierce's staff struggled with, CJ, was commanding the strike zone. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the ability to command the strike zone and throw strikes in big spots was always an issue. They'd come in with velocity. They had good stuff, but, you know, it doesn't matter if you can't, you know, locate and command that strike zone, pitch ahead and counts, dominate the bad bat. And whether it's right side, left side, those numbers you just gave are exactly what you're looking for. Someone who doesn't put a lot of free passes, doesn't walk a lot of people, and can command the strike zone with a couple of pitches. All right, here we go. Tex Boy, 190. By the way, we'll watch and obviously keep an eye. Coffee and Football tomorrow and throughout the day on Texas Football. We'll keep you posted if any more portal commitments come in for Texas baseball. Could be a real busy week. Bama 2022 versus Georgia 2024, talent-wise, guys. Tee it up. What do we think? I mean, Georgia this year going to be number one. Carson Beck is back. It's the best quarterback that Kirby Smart has had at Georgia. I think that's fair to say, not to discredit Stetson Bennett, but Carson Bennett could be the first pick in the draft with all that talent. And Bama 2022.
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? Because with Alabama, defensively, you had Dallas Turner, you had Will Anderson, right? I think that secondary,
both top 10 picks, by the way, in their respective drafts.
That's right. And so, you know, I think defensively, I lean a little bit more towards Alabama. Even though I think right now offensively, and this is with the Heisman winner with Bryce Young at Alabama in 2022, I lean Georgia right now. Again, you just have a veteran quarterback in Carson Beck. I think right now when you look at what that room is looking like for Georgia for their wide receivers, it's tremendous. Ra-Ra Thomas, you know, they have a full slate of guys returning. You go out and you add London Humphreys. If you go back and you rewatch that Alabama-Texas game, what was the big reason Alabama couldn't sustain drives? Well, it was a ton of drops and also self-inflicted penalties. You know, they had a couple face masks. They had some false starts. They had holding penalties. It wasn't, I believe, it was the most penalized game Nick Saban had ever coached. So talent-wise, I think they're very similar. In terms of discipline, I think you're certainly going to see that favor the Georgia 2024 squad than what Texas saw in 2022 with Alabama. But at the same time, I mean, it's Georgia and Alabama. So it's two of the most talented programs we've seen in the last decade and a half. Hard to fight your battles there, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I would lean Georgia right now. I'm leaning Georgia right now, but it's tight. That's a real good question, Texas boy.
Well, hey, Matthew, real quick, can you go back to that graphic we started with the toughest schedules? Because, when I look at Georgia, the fun thing about the Texas-Georgia game, which is number one on this list, is it's the best game of the year in college football. Could be 1-2 potentially when we get to October 19th. But, you know, ahead of that, Georgia plays at Alabama. That's number two on the list. Week five, they play in Tuscaloosa, Kalen DeBoer. That's a huge moment for Georgia football. They also play Clemson early, which I think is really interesting. They've got some tough games ahead of it. So we'll know a lot about both teams. Texas, of course, plays Michigan in Ann Arbor. So we'll learn a lot about those teams before. And Texas, of course, guys, while we're on that conversation, what do y'all think about the – and, Rod, you played in it, so I want to get your thoughts here. The thought of playing, we're getting closer to the season – have a bye week into a game at Oklahoma in Dallas, which is rated as number five of the most watchable and most anticipated games of the year, and then turn around and play Georgia the next week. That is going to be a real challenge for this locker room and this staff to handle that emotionally, physically. That's a lot right there. It's not an excuse for how the season's going to go because the rest of the schedule I think is very favorable. But that is, you played in that game four times in your career, that Oklahoma game. That takes a lot out of you. And you got to turn around and then play the number one team in the country potentially.
Yeah, and that is going to be a challenge, right? Because Mac Brown used to always say, that Texas-Oklahoma game is so big. It's so big. It used to be so much on the line because we would always be both top 10 ranked teams. And essentially that game would be an elimination game. You'd essentially be out of the national championship hunt. Or at least your odds would drop precipitously for a chance to be in the national championship hunt. And everybody in the back of their mind knew that playing that game. And that was kind of what was on the line. And Mac Brown used to always say, well, he said it later to me, but he wouldn't tell the players, but he treated that almost like two different seasons, the pre and the post Oklahoma game, because it was so big. And if you won it, you had to reset because it's like, all right, guys, now we beat Oklahoma. you know, we know how emotionally exhausting that was. We know how much effort we put into it. Mac probably devoted a little bit more extra practice time, right, against some Rice or North Texas, probably had more Oklahoma prep in there, kind of how Sark did for his Alabama game. You always do that for big games. And after that game, because it's so emotionally exhausting, either if you win it, hey, great. And I didn't win many of them. If you win it, great, but then you got to reset. So, all right, you know what? Let's not have too much, as Mac would put it, sugar on your back. Don't be overconfident. Now let's go back to the process. And now we know that what we can accomplish. That's our number one goal, usually, is beating Oklahoma. And now let's kind of get back to work. And it's more of a worker's mindset, because that's the biggest game you're going to play. And that's probably the best team on your schedule. And for Texas, that's not going to be the case. So it almost feels, and if you lose it, it feels like another season, because as Max said, you didn't psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, you got to reset, because you feel like the season's over. We can't win a national title anymore. It's like, yeah, you need to readjust your goals a little bit here. It's like, all right, well, we can still win the Big 12 and we can still do this and do that. And you got to readjust your goals. And I think Texas, to a certain extent, they got to do that, but they got a bigger game.
The dawn of a new season of Futurama is coming to Hulu July 29th.
That's great.
But I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
July 29th, streaming only on Hulu.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit dicks.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And this is weird because it used to be our biggest game of the season, essentially, until we got to a Big 12 title game, potentially to a bowl game if it was going to be a big game, a BCS game or something. But for Texas now in the SEC, that's not the case. You got a big game before that at Michigan, and then you get to play probably number one team in the country coming to town after the Oklahoma game. How often do we have a game bigger than the Oklahoma game after the Oklahoma game? And you might have two this year. My thought is that the Texas A&M game, it's going to be bigger than Oklahoma just this year. Not any other year, but this year it is. And by the way, Paul Feinbaum said the same thing. He said it's going to be the biggest game of the year, Texas at Texas A&M. He said it'll be the biggest game of the year in the SEC. Daniel Jeremiah recently said, he did a write-up about Quinn Ewers. And at the end of the write-up, he said, can't wait to see him play at A&M. It's going to be bigger than Oklahoma this year. It is. Yeah. This year it's going to be. But it's so rare to have games that maybe in 08 Texas had that's the case, right? 08, because the way 08 worked out, the Big 12 was better than it's ever been. You had to play Texas Tech after you played Oklahoma. That was a really big game going down there. You had to play some other ranked teams. But usually, you know, the way the season would work out for Texas, it almost kind of peaks at an Oklahoma game, and then you got to keep from plateauing. You got to kind of – that's the battle after that. Now – for Texas, that Oklahoma game ain't even the peak of your season anymore. It's just like it's going to be, you know, kind of the midway point, but almost you got to build up and get much better after that, because the opponents you're going to play are going to be just as good, if not better. We didn't have that. We didn't get to play anybody that was just as good, if not better than Oklahoma. Usually they were the best team you were going to play that season. Psychologically, it's going to be different for them.
Yeah, I love that. That's such good stuff, Rod. Because, yeah, I mean, even when I'm talking about it on the radio or talking about it here, I don't want to say I forget about the Oklahoma game, CJ, but to what Rod just said, I think about the Michigan game. I think about the Georgia game. I think about the A&M game. You know, once a month there's these huge, you know, can't miss it games. And like, well, Oklahoma is right there, right? Right dead central ahead of the Georgia game. I'll be real interested. I'm now thinking about Sark next Wednesday when we see him. I think that's going to be an interesting psychological conversation with Sark. How do you mentally prepare your team for, because I think it's a kind of, I don't want to say easy. It's an understandable conversation about September because you prepared for Alabama last September, two Septembers ago here. You understand last year you went to Alabama, won it. Now, okay, your locker room's kind of used to that whole week two, you know, juggernaut showdown game. But man, how do you get your team ready to get up for both of those games, win or lose, win or lose? I mean, we know how, gosh, gut punch that Oklahoma game was last year in the closing minutes of the game. Now you got to turn around and play Georgia. That is, and Georgia's got some tough games ahead of it too. It's what makes this season so fascinating, so much fun of, you know, the psychology of we're all pretty good, but man, we got some big games and back to back with Oklahoma and Georgia is as tough as it gets right there. I agree with Rod.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think Texas has seen a back to back like Georgia and Oklahoma in quite some time, if ever. You know, again,
it's like really, the playoff. Really it'd be like a playoff, right?
Yeah. We'll see, but it's a good point. You got to get that locker room ready, and you got to get that energy back up regardless of what happens the week before.
Yeah, let's get to a super chat here as we wrap up our Tuesday live stream, brought to you by Texas Electricity Ratings. How big of a step back does the defense take this upcoming year, assuming they take a step back at all? I hope I'm wrong, guys. Or what's our anticipation? Is there a step back or is there a step forward, Rod? Let's go to you. You're the defensive guy.
It should be a step forward for the secondary.
For parts,
you're right. Overall, the secondary should be better. If they're not better, then we got some serious problems going on, some more macro issues. But I anticipate the secondary will be better because you just have better players in there and they're more experienced now. The concern is that how do you replace a Devondre Sweat and a Byron Murphy? You don't, right? That's why they're bringing in three D tackles via the transfer portal, and everybody's hoping and praying Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton workouts. You're not going to be able to replace those guys. You're going to just hope you can kind of money ball their impact some way. Hopefully one of those D tackles turns into a three down D tackle where you don't have to rotate and substitute guys based on situation as much. A guy that can play early downs against the run and also be an effective pass rusher on passing downs. That's what you want right now. Seems like everybody in that D tackle room has more of a specialized skill set. This guy's good on run downs. This guy's good on passing downs. You want to find someone who's good at both, like Devondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. They were both elite in those categories. So that would be my concern on defense. The cornerback spot opposite Malik Muhammad, I'm concerned about that, not going to lie to you. They got to figure that out. But I think they have a solution there because Sark is talking a lot about Jalen Gilbo. He's been bragging about Jalen Gilbo a lot, even unsolicited, bringing up Gilbo's name. He did in that Joe Klatt interview. If they trust Gilbo more than they trust those corners on the outside, Javion Cole and Gavin Holmes, you can always move Jay Barron out there to corner a little bit, situationally, matchup-wise, week to week, depending on what you have there, and trust Jalen Gilbo to man the nickel if you trust him more than you trust those corners. So you got an option there. And honestly, it's just about the secondary improving, man. And the pass rushers, if Sark's bragging about his edge rushers, I think the edge is going to be good. Sark doesn't usually start bragging. He's been bragging about these damn men. If the edge rushers ain't good, we're going to give Sark the business because he's been bragging about them all offseason about how great they are. And I agree. I think they're going to be a strength. If they are not a strength, then I think the defense is going to have some problems. The anticipation will be the pressure will now come from the edges as opposed to coming from the interior, and that will force more takeaways, cause more negative plays and splash plays. That's the theory. And hopefully it'll help the secondary playing some stickier coverage, make some plays on the ball. That's the theory. Hopefully ends up coming to fruition.
All right. Any more super chats, Matthew, as we approach an hour and 10 minutes into our Tuesday night? Stay set for Jonte to shine, Roderick. As long as you're in the circle, hook him. There's a UT boy right there.
Hey, thank you, UT boy. Oh, yeah. Jonte Cook's going to shine, man. Honestly, we got first world problems at wide receiver. We're just trying to divvy up the target share here and find out who's going to be the number one guy. The question really is, yeah, who is it going to be, Jonte Cook or Isaiah Bond stepping up to be that number one guy? But, you know, Sark's got a good problem to have. So, embarrassment.
All right. Guys, awesome stuff tonight. Always appreciate it on a Tuesday. Good Arch Manning. Really, really good insights from both of you guys. Always appreciate that. Next Tuesday, it'll be SEC Media Days. We'll be up there live and bringing you live chats and conversations. Obviously, news will be made up there, no doubt about it. And think about this. You got SEC Media Days, CJ, and then by the end of the week, the video game will be out. And like all guys and people who play video games are going to disappear for about 5 days, I would guess, right?
There's going to be a lot of mad girlfriends out there, man. It's going to be a lot of mad ladies. Yeah.
Where do they go? Oh, he's in his man cave playing the video game. All right, guys. Awesome. Appreciate it. And, man, here we go. We're almost there. We're, 6 days out to the media days, and then it's camp and coaches school down in Houston. We're ready to roll on Texas football. Brought to you by TexasElectricityRatings.com. Please check out that website if you're in a deregulated area of Texas and you're looking for the right plan for you, your family, your business. TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF. Make sure they know you heard it right here on the Tuesday night live stream and the conversations on the ever-growing On Texas Football channel on YouTube. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you, brother. Hook 'em.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Discover great brands like Jen Air at your local Ferguson showroom.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit Dick's.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.